Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. I'm in the book of Mark, chapter number 7. Book of Mark, chapter number 7. Now, I've preached a message in revivals, and I preached it here because I got it marked, on this subject, trouble with traditions. But I'm not going down that street today. This is where the Lord's led my heart. I could not get away from this. And so I'm satisfied this is the message for this gathering on this day. And I hope that God will give you ears to hear it and give me the ability to preach it. Mark chapter 7, my reading is very lengthy today for me, 13 verses. That's normally two or three knocks it in the head, but I've got to read this, all 13 verses today. If you found Mark 7, shout amen for me. Amen. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. When they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. Watch this. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. That's powerful. Which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this day. I'm glad you're the day star, and I'm glad the veil is gone. I pray that you'd help us today. You would fill my mouth, guard my tongue, preach me like a dying man to dying people. I pray you'd use me one more time, Lord, when you're through with me. Call me home, and I'll come to the house. I praise you for each one that's here, each one that'll watch via the internet. And I pray, God, that you'd give us a special unction to preach this with today. I can't do it without you, Lord. I've studied and I've prayed. I've tried to listen. I've sought your face, but I can't do it without you. Help me, God, today. Feed your people with your word. Save the lost one nearest hell. I'll praise you for everything that's accomplished. And I ask it in my King's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to preach this morning on this thought, a far away heart. A far away heart. We have here Jesus speaking to the prophecy of Isaiah. Now I'm going to read this to you. My introduction is long and my message is short. That's what the Sunday school teacher said today. So in Isaiah, you can find this later. I want you just listening. I pray God give you ears to hear with today. Wherefore, the Lord said, now this is Isaiah, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept or the command of men. Now, that's in about 715 to 700 BC, somewhere in that area. I will not argue over dates, but I want to make a point here. They have not come into captivity yet. Now, that the northern tribes have gone some years prior to this, but Judah is still Judah. They've still got the temple. They've still got their priest. They're still doing some things. Isaiah is prophesying during the time of Hezekiah. You remember Hezekiah. He's a guy that thought God told him he's going to die, turned toward the wall, started praying, reminded God of what he'd done. God hadn't forgotten. He's just going to say it out loud so he could hear it himself. And he reminded God, and God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years. He's prophesying during that time. Now, we go 125 years later. Now they're in captivity. Not all, but part. It came in two, the captivity of the children of Israel come in two parts. And it says this, this is Ezekiel speaking, 125 years after Isaiah spoke that. Stay with me. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they set before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. So we're 125 years from the time that Isaiah prophesied this to the time that Ezekiel prophesied this. Isaiah prophesied while they were not in captivity. Ezekiel prophesied after they were taken into captivity. Is everybody with me today? Now, we have 125 years from that. That date was around, not exactly, but around 587 BC. Now, we come to this place here. It's about 32 BC or AD, And here we have the year of our Lord. We have him, and Jesus is saying the same thing to them that the guy said 700 years ago. And then the guy 125 years after that says the same thing. So 500 years, nearly 600 years later, God himself, Christ, is saying the same thing to these people. What does all that mean, preacher? Well, I'm saying on March 3rd, 2024, things haven't changed one bit. People still coming to church, doing what they do with faraway hearts. I'm glad we shouted in the singing. I see no change. I see no change. Now, I can preach on these traditions, and there's a bunch of them in here, but you're going to be glad of this today. I got 2 points. What was Jesus saying about this particular group right here? Now, remember, they've come to where he is. Are you with me? And it's very clear here. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Now they're coming into where Jesus is. The temple's nowhere around them right here, but it's still on the premises. It's still on the mount in Jerusalem. But they've come to where Jesus is. Now where Jesus is in the Galilean area, there's synagogues. Are you with me? So they're like, satellite churches. They come to where he is. Now, these, number one, here's what this group done. They followed the law. They followed the law. Now, by the law is the knowledge of sin. A plus. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We need the law. The law shows us where we stand before a holy God. Don't throw the book away. Some just want to take the New Testament. Well, and I love the New Testament. It's better, better covenant. But what are we going to know if we don't see the Old Testament? We don't see that holy God. We don't see the fear of God. We don't see the sacrifices. We don't see the things pointing to Jesus. And we're a little bit confused when we get to Matthew 1. Now, they followed the law. Number one, in attendance. They've done some things. Now, I'm trying to apply this to modern day Christianity. Say, how are you gonna get this faraway heart? You stay with me and let's see what happens. In attendance, Deuteronomy, I'm going all the way back. Gordon's got me nailed, I'll just tell you. Deuteronomy 16 and 16, here's what the Bible says this. You don't have to turn there. The Bible says that Moses is reiterating the law. He's reminding them. He's showing them what they need to do. He said there's three times a year that the males are required to come to Jerusalem or the temple. Or at this time it was the tabernacle. But they're going to be required three times a year to come to the tabernacle or the temple. And they're going to have to, and the three times is this. Number one, the one time that they come is for Passover. I thought, is that like today? A lot of people show up at Easter. I mean, this place will pack out at Easter. And you girls got the preacher's permission to wear your hats. I kind of like it. Reminds me of yesteryear. And the hat club's over here. Rest of you need to get with the program. And it reminds me, it's reminiscent of my youth and when the women on Easter. Anybody remember Miss Stringfield? If anybody could wear a hat, she could wear one. It would nearly qualify as a sombrero. I mean, if you sat behind her, you wasn't going to see much what's going on up front. But hey, she liked her hat. She could sport that hat now. Easter, Passover. You know what that was? Spoke to redemption. Why do I want you to come here? Because I don't want you to forget. I want the men. By the way, that was important right there. The women in that day, they done a different duty than the man done. Just as important, different duty. The man, the patriarch of the household, was required to come because this is going to do something. It's going to remind you when he redeemed you. Do you remember Marcus Matthews when he come to where you was and brought you out of where you were and put you in a different place? Is there anybody besides me today remembers when the Holy Ghost arrested you where you were and brought you out, praise God, through this world and saved your wretched soul the day of redemption? But it's not only that, but it's the day of Pentecost. It's the feast of days in Leviticus, which is going to be Pentecost because it's 50 days after first fruit, who is Jesus, the first fruit of the resurrection. So then we have him, we have 50 days later, Pentecost. Pentecost is this, it speaks to rejoicing. We have redemption, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, and you can rejoice in the Lord. You can't rejoice in your flesh. You'll be happy for a little while, but happiness depends on happenings. But when the joy of the Holy Ghost comes on you, then you can worship. Then you might even act a little crazy sometimes. You don't have to. Don't have to. But I'm telling you, they thought they was drunk that day. They thought they were drunk that day. Said, these men aren't drunk, seeing it's but the third hour. Praise God, they got a drink of something, hey, sweeter than any wine they'd ever tasted. Three times a year they've got to come here. These guys were fanatical about coming these three times. They'd sacrifice everything they had to get there for these three times. One was to represent Passover. Two, Pentecost. Three was tabernacles. Now, Passover was redemption. Pentecost was representative of rejoicing, the Spirit of God. He comes in us. Then we have this. Then we have tabernacles. Tabernacles is for remembering. Tabernacles is to say, hey, when I brought you out, you camped out in booths. But you were on your way to a better place. Well, I felt God right there. You may have had it rough for a little ways. Oh, but when you got to where you was going, business was better. Life was grander. Glory to God, the promise that I made you, there it was. These guys were fanatical about that. So they followed the law, Brother Branch, by their attendance. Some do that today. Do you know what? They didn't know what it represented. They just done it because they were told to. Well, number one, they followed the law by attendance. Number two, they followed the law in their actions. Now, I'll stay right here with me for just a moment, because Jesus is talking to them here. I'm preaching about a faraway heart. Jesus is talking to them about their actions. Their actions was this. They going to wash the cups. If you didn't wash your hands, you couldn't eat. And they were going to micromanage you. In Exodus, going back, 19, 20, and 21, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that the laver was set out before the holy place. And if there's going to be any worship, you're going to have to wash your hands and your feet. The ministers had to be clean before they could go in and give worship unto the Lord. You know why sometimes we're not doing backflips, shouting hallelujah, got our hands to heaven, more excited about coming to church than going to Cracker Barrel? It's because we've not been to the laver and let the Word of God, that's a picture of it, wash us clean. Not popular preaching, that's why it's not standing room only in here today. But he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the good thing about it is, when we're not that, Brother Bob Tays, he'll show us. The Holy Ghost come, he guides you in all truth. He'll show you that. And thank God he shows it to us. That's how I know I'm his. He chastens those that he loves. And there they have them. He told them, he said, look, here you're the priest, and here's what's required to wash your hands and your feet. Now, these guys took it to the nth degree. They were legalist. I'd say that bird that accused you of being a cult, was that you? I would guess that he's just a little legalistic. I'd like to talk to him. Because I'm going to tell you today, your denomination don't mean nothing. When you get to glory, there's a lot of things I can guarantee, but this, I can guarantee this for sure. You're not going to see Baptist, Free Will, Independent, Primitive, whatever other kind you want, Southern. You're not going to find that there. You're not going to find the Church of God of Prophecy or the Pentecostals or the, well, they got the best name. Their theology's just messed up. The Church of Christ. That's what we are. We're the body of Christ. You're not going to find them names there. You know what you're going to find? The body of Christ, the bride, the blood bought, the redeemed, praise God, the born again, those that are in there with him. Are you there? Are you there? Here's what needs to be washed. Quote your verse for me, Junior. He's washed us by what? Amen. That's a picture of the word that laver is. Washing water is the word in the Old Testament. When you see washing, it's reference to the word. And it's showing what the word's going to do. It's going to wash us from our sin in his own blood. You know what they're doing? It wasn't just the washing. The action. They followed the law in their attendance and in their actions. It wasn't just the washing, but there was the watching. In Mark 3 and 1 through 5, here's what you're going to find. On the Sabbath day, by the way, those that says you can't do nothing on the Sabbath day, then they've missed what Jesus said in Matthew. He said, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath days. Wherefore, it is lawful to do well, well on the Sabbath days. There's a man sitting in the synagogue. He's got a withered up hand. That means he can't work. He can't provide. That means he's in a bad way, Tommy. And there he is. He's a burden to his family. He's a burden to himself. He's a burden to those around him. He's inept, unable, incompetent. And he's sitting there, but the difference maker has showed up on this Saturday. And the difference maker said, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days? And they sat there in silence, but he knew what they was thinking. He's going to heal him. He's going to heal him, and it's the Sabbath day. They're freaking out because somebody's going to do something on the Sabbath. Jesus said, you know, if you got a sheep gets in a ditch or an ox, you're going to pull them out on the Sabbath day. But you can't heal us. You don't want a man healed. And he just simply said, Tom, stretch forth your hand. And here's something he couldn't do. He asked him to do something that he was incapable of, and he stretched that withered thing out. Don't you know, as it come out, and it come new, and it come fresh, and he looked at it, and he said, I'm not withered anymore. Praise God. Who is this man that can do such things? And the Bible said they watched him to see if he would heal. The world's watching you, just like the Pharisees watch them. Sister Dean Hyder gave me an old track from, I think it's from Browntown Church of God, I think is where that come from, if I remember right. She gave me this old track, and I didn't know I was going. I read it yesterday with no thought of using it today. Talking about watching, and said this woman was faithful to her church. And said a friend of hers came by and said, hey, there's a concert. It's church night, I know, and you always go, but it's a concert night. Let's go to the concert. There'll be other church nights. And said she went to bed with full intent of going to the concert. She woke up the next morning, said the Spirit of God pricked her heart and said, don't go. You need to be at church tonight. She shows up at church, and guess who shows up? This woman whom she'd been inviting. And it come invitation time, and this woman come forward, got gloriously saved. This woman gets on a train the next night, and the lady that was the witness was sitting in her home. The train track was close to her home. Two trains collide. She was very quick to get on the scene of the accident. She gets down there, and guess who's on that train? The woman that got saved the night before. And she holds her in her dying arms, and she said, you're the reason. You're the reason that I can leave with no fear. A single soul's the title of that track. Somebody's watching. Can I tell you? Dad, your kid's watching you. Mom, your children's watching you. Church, they're watching us out there. You know, you get mad, pass somebody, horn cuss them, whatever. Two-thirds of the time, they can't wait to call me and tell me, don't this guy go to your church? I said, yeah. You know what he done? I said, what have you done? Bucko. Let me follow you around for a week or two. See how many demerits you might earn.
That's right, brother. Good preaching.
They watched him. and he done exactly what they knew he would do. He healed that guy. Are you still there? They followed the law. They went to synagogue. They went to the temple. They done all these things, and their heart was 1,000 miles away. They not only followed the law, but number two, they failed the Lord. They failed him in their methods. So Moses gave the law in two ways. Actually, it's three times they got it, but two ways he gave it. He gave it orally first, and they said, we take this, we'll be that peculiar treasure, make us that. Then he goes up to get the law as it's written in the tablets and bring back down to them. And they forgot already what he said to them orally, and they make the calf, and he comes back down, and there's the calf, and he breaks the law, and he goes back up, and he gets the law again on tablets he hewed, which is a picture of two covenants there. He come down with them in his hand. Oh, that's a lot of good preaching right there. I don't have time to cover. So here he has. And they added all this stuff to the oral law. They wasn't nothing about washing your cups. It was wash yourself. They failed. Let's hear. They done this. They followed the law, but they failed the Lord in their methods. Second Chronicles, going back. It's just how it works. Second Chronicles 35:3. You know what that is, Bible students? That's the last mention of the covenant, of the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. You won't find it anymore after that. And it's Josiah that puts it back in the holy place. He tells the priest, put the Ark of the Covenant back where it belonged. Apparently, they'd taken it out from where it should have been. Josiah's trying to have a revival. We're about to have one at the end of this month. I hope you're helping me pray about that. I hope when them men come in here to preach to us, they're walking this high, and I hope you'll clear your calendar and show up. That's 5 nights. I'm challenging you as people of God to make it 5 nights to revival. And you won't find them. Tony, you sung the song, son. You won't find the ark anymore. You know why? They failed him in their methods because they're going behind a curtain where there wasn't any furniture. There wasn't anything there. So he called them hypocrites, which is a word for actors. He's nailed them. He's telling them right. Because they're going in there and there's nothing there to put it. Nowhere to put the blood. Empty hole. I've researched that a lot and asked some very learned men about that. I've not found anyone that disagreed with me about that. Why was that? Why was that? What did the Ark of the Covenant represent? The presence of God and the glory of God and the mercy of God. All of those things were standing outside the temple in a body in a man named Jesus. He's the covenant. He's the blood. He's the high priest. He's the mercy seat, praise God, that endureth forever. He's outside that temple. There's no place for the blood. They not only failed the Lord in their methods, but here's what it boils down to, and I'm about done. Failed them in their motive. I said something last night sitting on the couch. God pricked me about it. I studied this out, studied out, I've read it, I prayed. There's a bunch of stuff I could have interjected that I just felt I could be too long if I did. And I told Pat, I said, I've got to preach tomorrow. And I went in the prayer room, man, a normal routine. I go in the prayer room every night. I go in the prayer room, and God's waiting on me there. Is he not in the living room? Sure he is. He's in my heart. I mean, he's within me. But his presence is more prominent in some places. And I go in my prayer room, and I go in the place, and he said, you have to, huh? You have to? You don't have to. Now you can go, you go to your boat and go fishing if you want to. You don't have to. But I'm going to enable you, and you get to.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
You get to. Lord, I preach and preach, nobody's saved. Did I ask you, are you in charge of that? You go, you get to preach, and you leave the rest to me. And whether you receive this today or not, God knows you've heard it. There's got to be a place for the blood. The motive is wrong. Jesus said in Matthew, let me get my scripture right, 22, before Matthew 23, when he really lowers the boom on him, this lawyer come to him, this scribe, and he said this, he said, Master, said, what is the great commandment? And Jesus answered and said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Mark adds strength in that version of his. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two hang all the law and the prophets. You know what he done? He fulfilled that completely. You know why? Because he loved the Lord. He done the will of the Father. Though, and that, this is above my pay grade, but you'll never convince me that Jesus isn't God. If he's not God, who's that walking across the sea that night? If he's not God, you tell me, who's that getting dead men out of the grave? If he's not God, who's that got himself up out of the grave? Hey, you'll never convince me he's not God manifest in the flesh. And he took those two things. He loved the Father and he loved the neighbor. And he fulfilled the law. In Luke, his account of this says this. In Luke 10, 28, he said, do this and thou shalt live. Loving God and loving each other. And thou shalt live. We know we've passed from death unto life, John said, because we
love the brethren.
Oh, class, you're doing good. Most faithful churchgoers you'll find in the Bible was the Pharisees. They didn't miss. When God told them they had to be there, they showed up. They done all these things. They followed the law. They failed the Lord. Why? Because their heart was far away from him. I've asked the Lord, I don't know if I'm getting old and wore out or what the deal is. But when I was young, Gerald England said this not long ago. Roger talked to me about it. He said, Gerald made this comment, and I agree with this. Brother Gerald said, young preachers are full of fire and zeal. We don't know a lot. Got a lot of zeal. And some people love the fire and the zeal. They don't care about the substance or the depth. He said, but after a man's preached 10, 15, 20 years, he ought to be able to bring something to the table besides fire and zeal. It still has some fire, and it should be, you should be zealous of good works. But there ought to be some substance there that you take home and have to chew on something that you go, hey, look, that helped me. Or even if you know it, you're reminded of it again. I agree with that statement. But it's easy. I used to watch the older preachers and I thought, man, they're just not as, I hate to use the word, they're just not as on fire as they used to be. I'm just going to tell you, my pew jumping days are past me. Now they're behind me. But I've asked God, do this for me, Lord. You do this for me, because I can't do it for myself. Now, I know the Bible said draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. I understand that. I'm not ignorant to that scripture. But look here, you can be close to him, but your heart be far away. And my prayer is, God, you get this old crusted heart. Right up next to you, where there's more burden for lost people and desire to preach the word and study the word. And the pastor of the church. Because when the heart's gone out of whatever you do, friend, you're not where you need to be. Paul said it like this: whatsoever you take upon your heart to do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That's what he'd have us do. Stand with me, bow your heads, Verena, play something for me on the piano. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.